This is the 11th Vilas of Hari Bhakti Vilas. Discusses the process for staying up all night. Ata Jagaran Vidhi. Vidhi means the process or the rules or regulations. It's a conversation between Brahma and Narad Muni of Skanda Puran. So Brahma, of course, is the original guru, well, original disciple. Krishna was an Adi Guru, then he taught Brahma, then Brahma taught who? Who was Brahma's disciple? Narada Muni. Who did Narada teach? So many people, Vyasa as well. So he's describing to Narada, so this is, we're in the Brahma Madhvagodi Sampradaya, so he's describing to Narada how to, what's the process for staying awake all night?
Narada
or Narada? Narada. It's India, Narada. Arjun, there's no A's. A's are all left out. Karam, Dharm. There's no Dharma, it's Dharm. Dharm, Karam, Narada.
Is that Hindi or is that Sanskrit?
That's Hindi. And they get in trouble when Hindi people sing Bengali bhajans and they get in trouble, they say, they don't say the A's. They speak like Arjun and Dharma, but it's, when you're reciting a shloka, you have to say Dharma. You have to say the A to get the meter right. It's called Chandas. Chandas means a meter. Narada, you say, it's like there's a bhajan by Bhakti, Narada Muni bhajan. Say Narad Muni. If you're a Hindi wali, you say Narad. No way. Narad Muni bhajan. Doesn't work. Narada Muni bhajan avina radhika ramana name. So glory to the Hindi Wallace. By understanding this process, it will be easier for you to obtain Lord Janardhan's mercy. While staying awake on the entire night of Ekadasi, one should remain fully engaged in singing, playing musical instruments, dancing, reciting the Puranas, burning incense and ghee lamps. So we should give up miserliness and engage in these activities while remaining awake. Then we will surely gain the association of the Lord of all living entities, Lord Vishnu. The wicked person, despite being well-to-do gentlemen, displays miserliness while remaining awake the entire night of Ekadasi. So we shouldn't be miserly. Give everything you have, whatever you have. So apparently there's lots of conversations. It's called Sambad. This is Uma Maheshwar Sambad. This is Parvati and Shiva. So this is a conversation. They say, while remaining the entire night, awake the entire night, one should study devotional literature, sing and dance according to methods prescribed in literature dealing with music, light up the entire area with bright lamps. Well, we've done that by the mercy of this energy light. Invite all the devotees, arrange for the required articles, cultivate devotional service, and remain satisfied trying to please the Lord's devotees. And, don't blast anybody tonight. And offer ghee lamp. They really stress offering ghee lamps, so we try to do that every few hours. And try not, don't sleep, don't get in any quarrels. I guess you're all too tired to quarrel. If there is a qualified person to recite the scriptures, then one should arrange for chanting and dancing. Oh, there's a lack of qualified persons. So if we appear to be losing our qualification, then we should be thrown out, and then you should start chanting and dancing. Or if you feel like chanting and dancing, just send me out for a ride or whatever. If there is someone qualified to recite the scriptures, then he should begin with the Puranas. So we're Bhagavat. We're reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, and that's also Bhagavat Puran by the same author, Vyasadeva. So this is all the Puranas they talk about. This is a conversation between Brahma and Narada and Skanda Puran. Past and future members of the family of those who do not remain awake on Ekadasi will become degraded. And we read earlier about the glories of Unmilani Mahadvadasi. Anyone observes this will be blessed with children. So that might blessed with children. Anybody wants some? They can get some. And remaining that. Of course, nowadays people don't emphasize this nirjal very much. I mean, it's jagran, but in the ancient scriptures it was quite common. Remaining awake is an important act for attaining relief from all sinful reactions. Therefore, it is an eternal function. Those who do not remain awake on the night of Ekadasi lose all their pious merit, just as one loses all piety by blessing a Vaishnava. Of course, all these things are arranged. These are the shastric injunctions, but there's guru, shastra, and sadhu. So guru is the ultimate regulator. He's the ultimate regulator of the shastric injunctions, because some shastras say that one should chant lack a day, 64 rounds, but the guru may regulate that according to time, place, and circumstance, and reduce the number to 32 or 16 or even 4. Nowadays, some gurus are asking 4 rounds. He doesn't disregard the shastra. He doesn't neglect the shastra. He takes his support from shastra. But, for example, we don't remember our Prabhupada insisting that we stay up all night on Ekadasi, because next day there will be sleeping all day on the time when we're supposed to do Sankirtan. So staying up all night on Ekadasi certainly benefits one individual, but sleeping all day on Dwadasi puts hundreds of people in trouble, because they can't take advantage of the Sankirtan, because the Mridanga player is sleeping, and the cartel player is sleeping, and the lead singer is sleeping, and the lead dancers are sleeping, and the book distributors accompanying the party are all snoring deeply. So that's nice. All devotees who are already liberated get further liberated, and all the devotees who are in hell go deeper in hell. I mean, all the conditioned souls that are in hell go deeper in hell because of the sleeping Sankirtan party. So Prabhupada regulated the shastras. These are the ancient shastras written long before the advent of Lord Chaitanya. So this gives the general gist of things. And this Hari Bhakti Vilas is kind of a tricky book in some regards, because it, of course, it's ordained by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually, Sanatana Goswami was fulfilling a particular need by compiling the scripture, which was foreseen by Lord Chaitanya. At the other sampradayas, especially Smarta Brahmins, Smartas means they follow the Smritis, Smriti Shastras, or the corollary Shastras. There's the four Shrutis and there's the Smritis. The Shrutis, the Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, and Rig Veda and Sama Veda. These are the four original Vedic literatures called Shruti. They were learned by hearing, Shruti, Shravanam. And then there are other scriptures that are called corollary. They're written as commentaries. The 108 Upanishads and 18 Puranas, Nitihasas, Nupapuranas and Mahabharata and Ramayana, etc. These are all called Smriti. Bhagavad Gita is Smriti literature. So, and these, like Skanda Purana and others, these are Smriti. So these are all compiled 5,000 years ago, but these are very ancient conversations. Some went on in Treta Yuga, millions of years ago. So they have all kinds of things about Ekadasi, all kinds of injunctions and things that have to be done. But now we come in 500 years ago, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So we have Chaitanya Bhagavat. And we, of course, we see in Prem Vivart and other diaries describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings that Lord Chaitanya himself was observing Jagran with his disciples. And Puri, it's described, they were staying up all night, chanting, dancing, and doing all these things. But
it wasn't just a Kadasi, all right? It was like practically every night they
were. As far as organized in a group, it was on Ekadasis. But his own, he would stay up, it's described that he would regularly meet with the devotees in the evening and go to the Jagannath temple and have 2 or 3 hours Sankirtan when it wasn't Rath Yatra time and he wasn't involved in this Gundicha Leela or Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, which is part of that. But they would have Kirtan, but that would end. That would end by 11 or 12 or so. And they would go, and he would go back into the Gambira and the masses of devotees, especially because devotees had spent 4 months with him for Chaturmasya. About 200 to 300 devotees who come from Ambika Kalana and Shrikanda and Shantipur and Navadvipa and Mayapur and of course Orissa. They would all gather in Puri and observe the Chaturmasya with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in the evening, they're all grihasthas. They had some regulation. They weren't all night. They weren't doing all nighters all night, every night. So they would retire, and then he would go to the Gambira, and then it was then he himself, of course, would be grinding his face in the walls, and so, especially later in the last 6 years. But he would be in his Gambira with sort of Damodar and Ramananda and Govindadas, only a handful of devotees. And then in his own privacy, he would often stay up all night, or probably didn't sleep practically at all himself. But as a larger group function, it wasn't like that. At least in the diaries they compile, like, that's what it said. But in Ekadasi, they often would stay up all night. And then even on Ekadasi, he would give different instructions to different devotees. Some devotees would say, you study shastras all night, you chant japa all night, you dance and chant all night. He gave different functions to do throughout the night, but throughout the Jagran. But so the shastras give very strict warnings here. Anyone who doesn't stay up all night, he loses all his piety and all his sukriti. So that means, well, gee, what happens to us? So now how do we adjust this? How do we harmonize this? So therefore we take shelter of Guru and say, Guruji, what do we do here?
Maharaj, is this for this particular Ekadasi or for?
This is just a discussion of Ekadasi in general. We are aware that this is the standard amongst the more elevated and advanced Vaishnavas that are more Bhajanandi types. They often do these strict observances. But you have to see that ISKCON, for example, is a preaching movement, Gosyanandi preachers. So Prabhupada, he used the most important line of what's best for preaching, which will get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is so much important for us to help us chant purely. Because by chanting purely and engaging in devotional service, we can attain all perfection with or without all these fine points of staying up all night and eating one chickpea a day for Chaturmasi and all those kind of things, which really aren't very practical for the masses of devotees because of their position or their job or their bodies or their condition. At least, well, interesting, there were some verses here that say that one who never even thinks of staying up all night on Ekadasi, he's condemned or something like that. So at least we should think about it. We may never do it, or very rarely or occasionally do it, but at least we should think about it. Oh, I'd like to do it. I heard about it. I'd like to do it someday. Because I remember hearing about it years ago, and I thought, oh, I'd like to do that someday. I can never find anyone to do it with, you know? So I do it by myself. And then later I sometimes try to get some friends to do it. Even my students had it with me for some years in Vrindavan. They always flake off, especially about 3 o'clock, 2 to 4, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. is really the witching time, or whatever they call it. It's really the test. That's a testing time, because most people that come from Delhi and Bombay, they don't take rest till midnight anyway. So they're quite good to midnight. They're quite fresh. And if they're really pushing it, they can go to 1. Then 2 to 4, then you find out whether they have any power at all.
And they don't. Who the real partiers are.
Who the real partiers are. Now the other guys, the guys that are like heading up the thing, they take rest at 10. So already by 12, they're way over their limit. And but they have more stamina, so they're like the hare and the tortoise. They start off slow and they end up winning a race, and all the city folks just crumple in the corners and retire to the powder rooms. Excuse me, Maharaj, I just have to go wash my face. I'll be right back. And then that was that for Dr. Jill. Bhagavad Joe showed up at sunrise. So mostly what I've read about these Ekadasis and Dwadasis, they say you should sing and dance, pass the night singing and dancing. So you really have to be really fired up to do that. You actually have to transcend your body to do that. We did it once, a couple times. One time, Rati Das, one devotee, I think he's Satsumar's disciple, or was it one time, and he took Prince Ambavan or something. Rati Das from Puerto Rico. He plays harmonium. He was really quite a good singer. And we had a jagar in Gopal Mandir on the rooftop, and it was all these gurukulis showed up and stuff. I don't know when it was. Balalastami, I don't know when it was. About 50 people on the roof. We were dancing on the roof all night long. All night long. And the moonlight was really quite wild. Huh? Yeah, we'll be going up there pretty soon. While remaining awake at night, one who neither sings nor recites the scriptures but remains like a dumb animal will actually become dumb in the next seven lives. Well, all right, so we got a lot of dummies over there. A lot of future dummies here. That's nice. You can do street sankirtan with a little card and carry a little card. Said, I am deaf and dumb. Hare Krishna, please give a donation. We used to do that in San Francisco. There was one guy named Jagadish Das, and he had a
skinny
guy. Yeah, you know all these guys. We go back and see. So his name was Jagadish Pandit, and he had a stuttering. You got a good memory. He had a stuttering defect, and he was also a little shy and a little fearful, so he was afraid of people. So I was a Sangharta leader for a short time when I went to Berkeley when I first went in 76, whatever it was. So he was on the party. So he said, "Sir, give." And the guy was like, "He was already gone." the guy's America is so waste time. And they say, "What, sir, buddy? What do you want?" And blah blah blah. Sir, he goes, "Oh, this guy's a jerk." So then we couldn't figure out how to get any sankirtan out of Jagadish. So then we typed up the card and laminated it. Said, "I'm deaf and dumb, and we're helping people and giving up." Printing books, can you give a little donation or whatever? So all of a sudden he started collecting $100 a day with a deaf and dumb thing. So then we used to, like, somebody came, they weren't too good at sankirtan, we had a whole deaf and dumb department. We had to enlist somebody. They're like, anybody, even they could speak, but they're a little slow and they're a little, they said, I'm afraid to talk to people. All right, you go in the deaf and dumb department. And then we got more, we Xeroxed that card and we laminated it and we just give it. So we had six or eight guys doing the deaf and dumb thing. And sometimes when I would get tired of talking, I would also do that. Because you get tired of talking and you find out that this thing works just as well. You achieve the same thing. You get the money, give them a book, and you save your breath. And people actually feel more compassionate for you. They feel, the poor guy. You know. See? And he goes, oh, you're dumb. He said, yeah.
You're dumb.
So people, you give him the card, and the people say, they make a thing like, I don't speak. Then sometimes later, if you break that routine in the middle of your sankirtan and you're just talking later, the guy walks, hey, wait a minute, I gave this guy money. Because I would do that sometimes, and that wasn't very good, but you know. Business here. One who lights a ghee lamp and offers it to the Lord while remaining awake, you should be awake when you're offering it, during the night, he will obtain the benefit of giving 100 cows in charity. Go Don Key. So I'm trying to engage everybody in this service because the Shastras are telling that. In whatever situation one may find oneself in, if one remains awake on the night of Ekadasi, that's interesting. It means even if you're in a brothel, wherever you are, even if you're in a movie theater, if you're in a brothel or in a prostitute's house, wherever you are, if it happens to be Ekadasi and you remain awake, for every 3 hours you're awake on that, you will destroy the sins committed during 1,000 lifetimes.
Wow.
So stay awake for at least 3 hours, especially Sleepy Pie over here. I mean, which, if out of the last 9 hours you can squeak out at least three, you would have destroyed this 3 out of 9. You would... She goes, she's awake for 5 and asleep for 14. So if you can rack up 60 minutes out of the last 6 hours, you would have destroyed the sins committed during 1,000 lifetimes. One who offers flowers to the Lord, well, we don't have any flowers, while observing the vow, remaining awake, receives the benefit of performing a horse sacrifice with every flower he offers. That means Ashwamedha. That's a big thing because it takes like $50 billion and 10 years of preparation to do one of those sacrifices. One who worships Vishnu burns incense made of aguru while remaining awake on the night of Dwadasi, which is tonight, will obtain every moment the merit of donating 100 pots of sesame seeds. Sesame seeds are like a special thing. They use them in yajna when they do swaha, salsa, sesame, black sesame seeds. We have this as aguru oil from Bombay, and we're going to offer aguru dipped in camphor, because that's also mentioned. Then one who offers fruit and cooked rice to Lord on the night of Ekadasi while completing the vow remaining awake attains the merit of giving 10,000 cows in charity. Now, this is it. Are you ready for this? One who offers incense made from aguru and camphor, so we're offering aguru and camphor, to the Lord while remaining awake, burns to ashes his sinful reactions that were accumulated during his previous 100,000 lifetimes. Wow. And that's going back a long way. That's going back to the days of crocodiles and insects and sharks and cockroaches, who knows what. 100,000 lifetimes ago. Were you speaking Spanish then? While remaining awake, if you offer costly garments to the Lord, you'll go to the supreme abode, spiritual world. That's a pretty good deal. One who offers a ghee lamp to the Lord while remaining awake obtains the merit of giving 10,000 cows in charity each moment. So we just did that. We just gave so many cows. If you offer a camphor lamp for the pleasure of Krishna, you'll receive the benefit of donating 10 million brown cows. That's coming up soon. Camphor lamp is coming right up. One who offers arti with camphor to the Lord while remaining awake attains liberation from material existence along with 10,000 of his family members. I don't know if you want to bring them along. By offering arti, even without camphor, to the Lord on the night of Ekadasi, the worshiper gains immense benefit, even if he's poor. If you recite Bhagavad Gita or Gajendra Moksha or other auspicious prayers that are chanted during this time, then you get the merit of donating 100 brown cows. Oh my God. You get the merit of donating 100 brown cows with each syllable he recites. Wow. Well, just that means Bhagavad Gita. If you recite a shloka from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye shami ma shuchah. Now, how many brown cows is that? 100 brown cows with each syllable. That's at least a couple thousand. Don't you feel good about that cow donation? One, those who sing and dance and play musical instruments on night of Ekadasi gain more merit than that what's obtained by performing 100 sacrifices or giving charity 100 times. One who explains the shastras while remaining awake will reside in the abode of Hari for many yugas, as there are a number of verses chanted. One who decorates a temple with banana trees and mango leaves will enjoy life in heaven. All right. We don't want, maybe, oh, we'll be entertained by celestial ladies. Well, maybe we better not decorate the temple. the benefit of dancing before the Lord by remaining awake on night of Ekadasi is liberation from material bondage. So the ladies were dancing around, they got that liberated. If you offer a row of ghee lamps before Lord Hari and night of Ekadasi, you'll go to heaven on an opulent airplane and stay there for one kalpa. Well, I don't want to do that. If you recite narrations of Krishna, you'll get 10 million members of your family who go to heaven. Well, that's good. Let them go to heaven, and I'll go to the spiritual world. We'll put them up. We'll put them in heaven, and we'll go to somewhere else. Right. I don't know if I want to run into those guys. One who recites the characteristics of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Charitra, or the childhood pastimes of Krishna, and what happens? All the sinful reactions that are accumulated during thousands and millions of previous lives are nullified. Thousands and millions. In so many previous lives, I don't think I existed anymore. It's going back too far. I mean, how far can you go back? One recites the Bhagavatam before the Supreme Lord while remaining awake in Ekadasi, delivers his family members to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Okay, that's what we want to get. I'll give them the highest promotion. If you read the Bhagavad Gita or the 18 Purans, of course the Bhagavatam is, attain the merit of studying all the Vedic literatures. The foremost of all pious activities that can be performed in the world is to remain awake on the night of Ekadasi. Those who sincerely desire to remain awake on the night of Ekadasi, just desire it. Now see there's some outlet here. Karmana manasagira chaitya krishna itesha punarvati vishnu. Those who sincerely desire to remain awake while engaging in devotional service to their body, mind, and speech will never return to the material world. They'll go live eternally in Vaikuntha. So thus see that even if your desire... That's amazing. There's a whole section of the benefit of hearing about the glories of remaining awake. One who hears about the glories of remaining awake on the night of Ekadasi will achieve the same benefit as one who fasts on Ekadasi for 100 years. You have a pen? Anyone have a pen? I want to mark that. That one slipped by.
Undo the benefit because of our sinful desires and activities?
No, all the benefits are always there. It's a matter of when they're going to cash in your blue stamps or whatever, your blue chips, your chips. Like you go, sometimes they go in these gambling places and they sit at a table and they use chips. And those chips are worth money. I mean, you buy the chips, start with $5 chips, $10 chips, a little like chip, like a little round thing, plastic, it's actually a plastic thing. Then you move those around, you bet with them, and instead of money, you deal with these little chips, different colors. And then you get late, you may go home, put them in your pocket, and you can come back later, next day, to the cashier department of the club, gambling casino, like in Las Vegas or whatever. In California, these casinos, that type. And then you can give your chips and they'll give you the money. So all these kind of Sukriti and pious activities are like, they're like collecting chips. And you may have, then they're with you, they're in your bank, so they're in your pocket, so you'll cash them in one at a time, it's right. And if there's nothing blocking you, you don't block your... In other words, you can immediately get the benefit if you don't commit any aparads or sins and you're faithful and things like that. The benefit can come much quicker. One who devotedly hears the glories of remaining awake on the night of Dwadasi delivers 100 generations of his family. One who recites the childhood pastimes of Krishna while remaining awake on Dwadasi will reside in the abode of Lord Hari for 10,000 million years, along with his forefathers. Of course, hope it's forever. Sometimes they say these things because they're talking about the Vaikuntha in the material world also.
I was going to ask that.
Because there is a Vaikuntha in this world where Shiradakshaya Vishnu lives. He's the super soul of the universe. And that's where Brahma goes and stands on, when you see in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma goes to the Shir Sagar. Because he's there. He's called Shiradakshaya Vishnu. That's super soul. So Shiradakshaya Loka it's in the material world. It's not in the Paravyama, it's in the material world, on this side of the causal ocean. And he's residing there with Lakshmi. And he's lying on the bed of Nantashesh in the milk ocean. And Brahma and all the demigods go there and stand on the shore of the milk ocean. It's in the 10th canto, first few chapters, the advent of Krishna. And then he communicates. He goes there with Mother Bhumi and he communicates by telepathy or meditation that Bhumi's in distress because all the demons are running all over the Earth's planet. And giving a hard time to Mother Bhumi by the way they're lying and cheating and sins. So then, please, Lord Vishnu, will you come and arrange for an avatar? Because all the avatars' incarnations are expansions of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, but they enter the material world through Shiradakshaya. He's like the London transit station, London airport. Mm-hmm. So many flights go from there on to wherever they go. So that's why they say that Sometimes they say Krishna is the seventh avatar of Vishnu or something. Because all the avatars, they come through. Just like if I say, oh, he came through the door. But it doesn't mean he came from the door. So how did the Prime Minister come in your house? He came through the front door. They say, oh, the front door is the origin of the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister existed before he came through the front door. He came from the rostra, from the royal palace or whatever. How did the Prime Minister come in your house? They came through the front door. So how do the incarnations come in the material world? They come through Shri Lakshmi Vishnu. But they're expansions of Garbha Lakshmi Vishnu. But so he's there. And it's described that Brahma can't even see him. He doesn't have the adhikar to even have darshan of Shri Lakshmi Vishnu. But he does, more than anyone else, he has the adhikar to communicate with him. Tene vida yat vida adhikavye. That from through his heart, he gets transmission to the heart. Shri Lakshmi speaks to the heart, oh yes, I will come, I will appear as an incarnation soon. And alleviate yada yada yadarmasya gilanir bhavati bharata. I will restore religion and annihilate the demons, deliver the devotees. So that message is communicated through the heart of Brahma. Then he tells the demigods, oh, everything's cool, relax. We'll go back now and all you demigods should take birth in the Vrishni family and because Krishna's going to come himself as an avatar and all this kind of thing. So these different, a lot of these punyas and pious and good things you do, it says, in the Ekadasi book, anyone observes this Ekadasi will go to Vishnu Loka and stay there for 60,000 years. That's where you go. You actually do go there and stay there for 60,000 years and come back. Mm-hmm. When you come back, you have a tremendous birth. You usually go into heavenly planets or whatever. And then whatever, like he was saying, whatever bhakti, whatever you do, then that comes out and you can still again take up bhakti because you have this reserved pious deeds you've done. Because the only way to cross the causal ocean, Karna Samudra, is to, because a lot of these things you can do, even if you don't have a guru, you can do these things. You can stay away, it doesn't say, but when you take shelter of guru and take diksha, say Vaishnava diksha, then you're practicing sadhana, and you have to come to the level of prema. Irregardless of whether you even do all these kind of different things, but if you attain Krishna prema, then you go cross the causal ocean, enter the Paravyoma and go to Vaikuntha. And then you don't come from there, you don't come back. Mm. So this, all these kind of, going to Vishnu Loka, going to Vaikuntha, this means this place, Shri Lakshmi. There's lots of that. You see a lot of that. 60,000 years and after that you take birth in the royal family or whatever. Hey, wait a minute, all these things here. It's like that. It's because it's just saying there's so much power. All you're doing, you're staying awake in Ekadasi, reciting Krishna's pastimes. It doesn't mean that you've surrendered to Guru and you haven't dedicated your life to, and you're not practicing sadhana bhakti and you haven't done, maybe you have other material desires, whatever, but you can go there and stay for some time, for 10,000 million years with all your forefathers, and then you have to come back.
So then better don't do it. Like if you wanna, like attain Goloka Vrindavan or something, and then you're following, but then it says that you go like 10,000 years to the heavenly planets, and it will actually.
Well, that is I don't know. I think what you're saying. I'll try to answer and see if I caught what you're asking. It's like, for example, some people they get on the train and there's the same train. And some people there take, they say, let me see your ticket. Oh, your seat's over here. And he puts you in first class AC. And he says, oh, your ticket is in a cattle car, third class unreserved. So what happens is, according to a devotee, one is taking Vaishnava Diksha and he's performing these different Ekadasi Vratas or whatever. They'll look at his ticket and say, oh, you're on this line. That your Ishtadeva is this, and you have prema, or you've attained prema, so you'll go here in the first class AC. You'll go to Goloka Vrindavan and live eternally. And this lesser thing of 10 million years in Shri Lakshmi, that you don't get that because you have a higher. You did this, and you're entitled to that. You could have had that if that's all. If you didn't have a higher grade ticket. Like someone has a two-tier AC, he might sit in the third class and say, I want to go here. He said, what are you doing here? You have a two-tier AC. No, I want to stay here. Okay, well, okay, this is unreserved, you can stay here. You have a ticket, you can travel unreserved. But naturally, we won't want any of these things. We don't want to go here for 10,000 million years with our forefathers. Right? We want to go with our Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya and Nandi Mukhi. Nandi Mukhi is Madamangal's sister. She's a Brahmin, Brahmini, and she's very funny. She has to be funny because her father named her after a bull. Her father has a sense of yeah. Her father has a sense of humor, right? Who's the father of Madamangal? Sandipani Muni. And then who's the mother? Can't remember just now. Padmavati or something like that, or something with an S, something. And then his grandmother is Purnamasi. So then he names his daughter Nandi Mukhi. Nandi means cow face. Imagine we call your daughter cow face. And she's very funny. She tells a lot of good jokes and she tells some funny things to Radharani. Nandi Mukhi. So now let's hear something about the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Since this is pretty much, we might.
And it's funny that it specifies those.
Yeah, the thing is, this is a general Puranic presentation, Skanda Puran, because these are ancient stories, the story of Dhruva and Prahlada in the Hari Bhakti Sutradaya. Of course, they're in our Bhagavad Puran. Bhagavad Puran's the latest thing, it's the newest thing. It's the last thing he wrote. Look at this cold sore on my lip or something. They generally say like this all the time. They say when there's some brata, you should recite the story of Gajendra Moksha. Even in Kartik brata, they say, even when you're doing shrad or pin, if your relatives have died, they say during that time, someone should recite the, when someone's dying or whenever, they should recite the story of Gajendra Moksha. Gajendra Moksha, Dhruva Charitra, Prahlad Charitra, the story of Dhruva and Prahlad. And then they usually talk about his childhood pastimes. So this is all before the advent of Lord Chaitanya, who came to teach in Braj Bhakti. Of course, Krishna's childhood pastimes is Braj. But this, especially Gopi Bhav, and specifically Lord Chaitanya is teaching Madhurya Bhav, Gopi Bhav. So the Acharyas, and what, because the thing is, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it says that verse? Ramya Kachit Upasana Rajabhadubhira. I think that's Ekadasi. They explain on Ekadasi one should do particular things. And that's, should hear Gajendra Moksha or Dhruva Charitra, Prahlad Charitra, or the Balalila of Krishna. We already read about Gaura's Leela. We read about Gauranga's return from Gaya. And the Bengali is so beautiful in this Chaitanya Bhagavat, because we had read previously the English, and now we're reading the verses in Bengali. It's beautiful, really good. Like anything, Hindi is so much better than English, and Sanskrit is better than Hindi, and Bengali is the best. Because this is Mahavru Bhasha, Gauranga Bhasha, Sartan Darshana. So it says you should read the childhood pastimes. And Balaji was saying, why is it? He generally always says these type of things. And then I said, that's for the general class of Vaishnavas. All Vaishnavas will read. Even Ramanandi Sadhus or Sri Vaishnavas will read Dhruva Charitra, Prahlad Charitra, or childhood pastimes. Because they're Gopal. Just like so many Gujaratis, they accept that Krishna's Gopal. But they can't accept that he ever had a girlfriend or dancing with the gopis. I really can't accept it. There's two basic conceptions of Krishna throughout India that pervade India. One is Bali Leela, the other is Rukmini Dwarkadish. He's either a boy or he's married. Nothing in between. There's Gokul, and then after Gokul, he went to Dwarka. He went to Mathura, then Dwarka. Gokul, he's a boy, then he was in Mathura and Dwarka, he was a king. So everywhere, all over, there's actually, I made a mistake, there's three forms. Either Parthasarathi, like a Madras, ancient temples, 1,000, 2,000 year old, 3,000 year old, Parthasarathi, Minshas Krishna, Parthasarathi, the chariot driver. Or Rukmini, if you see Yuga, I've been all over South India twice, in every single major temple. And then you'll see Rukmini Dwarkadish. And then Gopal. There's no deity of Radharani anywhere in India. It was established before 500 years. Nowhere. All established by Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Everyone comes from Delhi. Oh, Banki Bihari, Radha Krishna, this, that. Even Banki Bihari, there's no Radharani. And Haridas Swami, there's no Radharani there. There's just some plate. There's a golden plate there with her name on it, which represents her group. Same as Radha Raman, same thing. There's a golden plate. And also Radha Vallabh. Vallabha Sampradaya, Radha Vallabh, there's no Radharani. There's only Chilki. There's a crown and an asan.
But when Madhavendra Puri went 800 days before in Gopinath temple, there was Radharani or not? When he sang that, Hey Matranath, Hey Gindyanath. There are Radha Gopinath.
Kirchhoar Gopinath?
Yeah.
Madhavendra Puri?
Yeah. No, Radharani was not there.
There's no Radharani there now. You've been there? Raymuna? You ever went to Raymuna? I've been there. There's no Radharani there. It's Kirchhoar Gopinath.
Only Gopinath
itself. Maybe Radharani's there. I can't remember now.
When Acharya was telling that
earlier
he was known as Radha Gopinath. And after still.
Yeah, that name came later. No, I don't know if he was Radha Gopinath. I think he was just Gopinath.
Even Radharani came later with Govindadevji.
All that. Because see, these deities were established by Bajranath 5,000 years ago. And there was, as I said, there's that 5,000 years ago and up to 500 years ago, there was no Radharani. Radharani was introduced by Janamata. Janamata sent the Radharani Gidis for the... Well, the Radharani Gidi was sent by Purushottam Dev. Purushottam Dev, which is grandson or son of King Prataparudra. And he had gone to one kingdom south of Utkal, Orissa, and he had conquered the king there. And he had one deity there, and he took that deity and he was worshipping that deity in the Jagannath temple as Lakshmi. And he set up a temple there and she's worshipped as Lakshmi. She came in a dream and said, I'm not Lakshmi, I'm Radharani. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to Krishna, I want to go to Vrindavan to be my Govinda. So then so Purushottam Jain, or Jaina, whatever his name is, Gajapati Raj, he arranged to bring that deity by bullock cart, of course. There was no Indian Railway by bullock cart from Jagannath Puri to Govindaji. So Govindaji's Radharani is from Puri. She was worshipped as Lakshmi for some years, 50, 60, so many years. And then Janamata arranged for the deity of Radharani to come for Gopinath. And Madan Mohan maybe also, I'm not sure, I think so. So this was a popular conception. So all these Puranas, all these ancient stories where they talk about Ekadasi, they don't talk anything about, read about Rasa, spend it on Ekadasi, read Rasa Lila, or read Sangeet Madhav by Prabodhananda Saraswati, or Govinda Lila Amrita. This is all new things, new scriptures by the Parikars and disciples and followers, followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we would take the gist of this. I mean, in other words, what is being told here, and Hari Bhakti Vilas is repeating, and we're reading from that, and that's simply a quotation from Skanda and Pandava Puran. It's saying one should spend the night of Ekadasi chanting and dancing and singing, or if there's a qualified person, they should hear the Puranas. And the best of all Puranas is Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. So therefore, it's saying if one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, he gets the benefit of studying all 18 Puranas. He gets the benefit of just by hearing it. And then because they mention Bhagavatam, they say you should read the childhood pastimes. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas, their Stai Bhav is Madhurya Bhav or Gopi Bhav. So they'll study all 10th canto and appreciate the different qualities of Yashoda and Sridham and Subha and Nanda Bhava. And it's not that, but they might spend such a precious day as Ekadasi simply hearing about Radha and Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Puri and praying by Vart and other biographies, just, that's what he would do with his disciples. They would spend all night long. They would stay up all night and then they would hear about Radha Krishna because he was deeply absorbed. He wasn't hearing about the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So we'll read some childhood pastimes because they're also sweet. Then we may read other things too. The childhood pastimes of Krishna, chapter 11. This describes Krishna's release from the mortar, buying fruits, entering Vrindavan, herding the cows, and killing two demons, Vatsasura and Bakasura. The Vrijvasis saw the fallen Yamala Arjuna trees on the ground. They were bewildered, because even though they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen, they could not trace out the cause for their having done so. Patana Karanam, Avigyaya, they were ignorant. Krishna was bound by the rope to the Ulukal, which he was dragging. But how could he have pulled down the trees? Who actually did it? Where was the source of this incident? Considering all these astounding things, Ascharyam, Kuta Ascharyam, Ascharyam is astounding. The coward men were doubtful and bewildered. Utpata iti katara. Vishnu tells, the coward men of Braj, the Brajagwalas, as they say, understood that Krishna had caused the Yamala Arjuna trees to fall. But because of praying, they could not think that it was so. This yogamaya potency, they go hand in hand. So praying makes things happen and that can't be conceived, and makes things happen that can be conceived. And praying has covering potency. That's why Krishna is known as Sarvagya and also Vimugda. Sarvagya means all knowing. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. That's Sarvagya, all knowing. Everyone understands that this is a quality of Vishnu or Lakshan of Bhagavan. But then in Krishna and Krishna alone, we have another quality called Vimugda. Vimugda means Vishesh Mugda, especially bewildered. Especially befuddled, confused, bewildered. So how can you know everything and then know nothing? You're either all knowing. You're all knowing, but then you're all forgetful. Well, I used to be all knowing, but now I don't know. You're all knowing, but what happened? Why you dropped your flute? Why your pagri fell? Why your flute fell on the ground? Why you forgot the way home? Every day you walk on this footpath and now you're stumbling on the side. You don't know which way to go. Well, this one girl blinked at me. This one girl winked at me. Who is this one girl? Ra, 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 ra. You can't even say her name. If he says one syllable, he says ra, and then he's finished. He faints. If he says da, then he goes out forever. So ra is enough. Ra, da. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki
Jai,
Radha Rani ki
Jai,
Jai Jai
Shri Radhe.
So the Vrajagwals, they actually knew that Krishna yanked down the trees, but because of prem, this Vatsalya Bhav, the Vatsalya prem, they couldn't think, who did this? How did this happen? What is the source of this incident? They express their doubt in these verses. Who has done this? Why has this amazing incident happened to this boy? It is our good fortune that Lord Narayan has protected him. Thinking this way, the coward men were filled with anxiety. Katara. What does that mean? That's the same as Hindi, isn't it? Katara? Katara?
Katara.
Katara. Oh, it means danger. Oh, utpata. Utpata. There's danger. Then all the coward boys said, it is Krishna who did this. When he was between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar and the two trees fell down.
Like an animation film.
After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We saw it with our own eyes. The coward boy said, Krishna went between the trees and the mortar fell crosswise. The elders did not believe their story. So the boys repeated, "We saw two men emerge from the trees." Because of intense paternal affection, Sandigda Chetasa, the coward men headed by Nanda could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. That's it. Even though we see this in the contemporary world, or our experiential world, we see in our own experience that due to a mother, especially a mother, because her love is usually more intense for the children, that she can't really accept. One point she can't accept that her child ever becomes a man. A mother can never accept that my child is now a full-grown man. So that's one, a similar thing. And so that's because of her prem. We don't usually use the word prem, but we say that's because of her love, her parental love, motherly love. He, once my son, always my son. So if someone comes to her and says, "Do you know that your son has just been elected the Prime Minister of India?" "No, my son, no, come on." She'll say the same thing. She can't believe it. So they're telling the same thing. Ananda and the coward, they don't believe it. Because their feelings, their love, they can't believe it. "This is my little boy? I mean, you know, he can, when I put my shoes on his head, I ask him to carry my shoes." Because how old is he now? When he did this pastime, how old is he? How old is Krishna?
5 years.
When he carried this mortar, how old is he?
3 months.
He dragged this mortar between the trees.
3 months.
Where was it, first of all?
Oh.
You were there? Where was that? Varsana? Nandagram? You don't know, you don't remember? It's Gokul. So how old was he? 10 years old?
No.
7?
3 years.
3 years?
2, 3, 3 months.
3 months?
No. Giriya?
3 years.
He stayed in Gokul about 2 years and 6 months. So he wasn't.
I thought when this incident happened, how old was he?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, he was in, how long he stayed in?
No, I'm saying how. I think I'm asking how old was he when he pulled down these two trees? Is that what I'm asking? Is everyone? Everyone else seems to understand that I'm asking that question. How old was he? He stayed. What I just said is he stayed totally in Gokul for 2 years and 3 months or 4 months.
3 years.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, 3, because it was here for 11 years altogether. So it's 3 years. Yeah, it's 3 years and
4 months.
4 months, because 3 years and 4 months in Chatikar, and 3 years and 4 months in Nandagram. So it becomes 9, and then 4 is 12, or 6 months. It's 11, it's 10, it's actually, Krishna Chakravarti said it's 10 years and 8 months or something like that. Almost 11 years. So that's 3 and 3 is 9, and 4 is 12, that becomes 10. Must be like 6 months, or a little bit more, because he says he was 10 and something. If it was only 3 years and 4 months, that would make him 10, right? But he was 10 years and something, 7 months or so. At any rate, thank you, that's right. So, okay, in Gokul, he was 3 years and at least 4 months. So some people are saying 3 years old. The first thing is Putana, then after 1 month it was the whirlwind demon. Trinavarta. 6 days was, after 6 days was her, and then and 3 months was the cart demon, and then Trinavarta was 1 year. And so he was flying around with the demon 1 year, and then this must have been somewhere between 1 and 3 years. This tree walla. I can't remember. I mean, they're all specific times, but I can't remember. Anyway, it was pretty small. That's all I did. So they can't imagine how a 2-year-old boy or whatever he was pulled down these trees. But then some of them remembered that Gargamuni predicted at his name-giving ceremony that Krishna was equal to Narayan. Though full of affection for Krishna, they became uncertain and they thought, "Oh, maybe he did it."
So then Nanda Maharaj saw his own son bound with the ropes to the wooden mortar and dragging it, and he smiled and released Krishna from his bonds. Glancing repeatedly over all of Krishna's limbs, Nanda Maharaj smiled as he thought, "Your mother, whose lap you prefer to be to mine, has bound you up because of some small offense. Therefore, how can I release you? As you bind the living entities with illusion, you bind your mother and father with prema." So Nanda Maharaj is pretty philosophical here. The gopis would say, now they changes because it's kind of a melody, a collection of pastimes one after the other. They're speaking to Krishna, "If you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you a half a sweetmeat." Half, not even a full one. I'm sure here there's only Vishnu's commentaries, but I'm sure commentators are explaining why a half. Because everything has a reason. And this is what Bhagavatam is all about. I mean, I can imagine, but should have some support from the acharyas. Generally, most people, when they give talk on Bhagavatam, they simply repeat with their own bhavas the statements of the acharyas, unless there's some kind of realization. Like Radha Govinda Maharaj, when he speaks just what the acharyas are saying, pretty much. And he gives so many classes on these chapters, Bali Lila. He says, "Well, do you know Hari Sari? He says this. He explains why I have a sweet mate. But we don't have Hari Sari, and all these, so many commentaries, like 12, I don't know, 11 commentators that he quotes from. So it becomes very rich. But this is the substance of bhajan, because everything's revealed in the pure heart. So if one is really anxious, if one is in this type of bhav, these in Vatsalya bhav, then these verses become anukul for his, they become favorable for his Vatsalya bhav. So then he would read these verses from Bhagavatam and pray to Shukamuni and Vyasadeva and the Gwals and the Gopis, "Well, please reveal to me, oh Mother Yashoda and Rohini and whatever other gopis are over here. I'm interested in understanding your bhav and following your bhav and serving your bhav. So I'm meditating on this verse and I'm chanting my mala. So you please reveal to me." Because that's how they come about it. That's how the acharyas realize these things.
Mantrapasana.
It's like mantrapasana, or even just you can just pray without meditating specifically in the mantra. But and then they pray that, "What is this? Why half a sweetmeat? Why you are there, you're the parishads, and you're making Krishna dance. And why are you only giving him half, offering him half a sweetmeat? That seems rather amungal." Usually when you offer someone something, you offer something complete. You don't take a sweater and then rip two arms off it and give it to somebody. And when you offer a sweet, you should give a complete.
By giving full sweet, his teeth may be spoiled.
Yeah, maybe his mouth is too small, or they wanted him, they're going to give him installments.
From a sales point of view, you start bargaining low.
So yeah, well, they wanted to give him a half to see if he liked it, then he would dance more to get the other half. It's interesting. With our material minds, we can of course come up with many logical explanations which satisfy our curiosity. But if we want to know the actual ontological truth,
so you wanted to keep half the other. Wanted to keep half the other.
Yeah, I guess a devotee of Radharani will trace everything out to Radharani, no matter. Because even acharyas say that you can see Radharani in every verse in the Bhagavatam. Just as if you put yellow glasses on, then everything you see has a yellow tinge. So if you're tinged, if your heart is tinged with Radha Bhav, then you'll see everything in that way, one way or the other. So, who can understand this half a sweetmeat program? By saying these words, or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Who can imagine? This is why Brahma was going crazy. His four heads were spinning in opposite directions. One head was spinning to the north, and the other head was spinning to the south. One head was spinning to the east, and one head was spinning to the west. He's like, one head is going clockwise, one head is going counterclockwise. One head was going up and down, and all four heads were just spun off the wrong way. Looking down, seeing, this is Bhagavan. the Swayam Bhagavan. He's become a doll in the hands of the Braj Gopis. And for a half a sweetmeat, not even a whole sweetmeat, for half a sweetmeat, he's jumping around like a puppet. He's jumping around like a mannequin. What is this? I can't believe it. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. Tadvasho daro yantravat. Daro yantravat, wooden machine. Yantra means machine and daro means wood. Daro Brahman. Vas tadvasho, vashi means vashi means control. Mugdas, there it is, mugdas. This is a famous philosophical point. They say that Krishna is simultaneously sarvagya and vimugda, and this is right here in the verse. Kvachit udgayati kvachin mugdas. Mugdas, he's bewildered. Completely under the control. Who can describe the good fortune of Krishna's mother and father? Though Krishna is the controller of Brahma, Shiva, and millions of demigods, 33 crore, he is controlled at every step by the inhabitants of Braj. That's beautiful. He controls everyone. And who controls the controller of everyone? Braj gopis. The gopis would say, "If you dance, my dear Krishna, I will give you a sweet." Induced by the gopis, Krishna sometimes danced just like a human child, Balabhat. Overwhelmed, mugdas, by the gopis' sweet love, Krishna would conceal his omnipotence and smile and dance like a wooden doll in their hands. Daro yantravat. Like Daro Brahman. Like Jagannath said, Daro Brahman. Vibharti kvachit agyapta pita kon mana padukam. Bahoshepam chakurute swanam cha pritamabaham. Sometimes Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, "Bring this article, or bring that article." Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by his mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, if he was unable to lift these articles, he would touch them and stand there. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show he had sufficient strength. I can do it. But he just touches the article. See? He doesn't lift it. It's too heavy. He can't lift it. Big wooden bowl. He can't lift it. He would be able to lift the karong, the wooden slippers of Nanda Baba. He could lift them, manage to carry them on his head and bring them. In the West they have the dogs bring the newspaper. And here they throw it on your doorstep. Dong, 6 o'clock in the morning. And everybody runs out there like a dog. And they throw it on your doorstep. They throw it like a human being. They throw the paper from their bicycle or motorcycle or car. Boom, and it goes dong, hits your screen door. Oh, and we're like a dog. A dog is waiting for you to open the can of food. When he hears the can going, electric can opener, he starts wagging his tail. Oh, my food has come. So the human beings are in their houses drinking their tea or getting dressed, and they hear the screen door, dong, oh, that's the newspaper. And their tail starts wagging, they run. And then the man throws a newspaper like a dog, he throws a newspaper like a man, and you run like a dog. You run like a dog with your tail wagging and salivating. You're salivating. Oh, the newspaper. And you open the door and you immediately grab that thing and you start, sit down, you forget about shaving, drinking, brushing your teeth, anything, eating, passing soul, and you start reading a newspaper. Ah, ooh, ooh, ah, ooh. And make faces like a monkey, you know. You know, this guy murdered that guy, this guy raped that guy, this guy shot that guy, this terrorist blew up that airplane, this guy poisoned that guy, this guy ripped off this guy, and you get all that good stuff in your brain. Then you go brush your teeth, drink your coffee, and go to work. Say, "Did you read in the paper about this thing and that thing?" And talk all Gramya Katha all day, and you wonder why you come home and you're a wreck. Your mind's totally disturbed, your heart's totally polluted, and you have no joy or happiness anywhere in any corpuscle of your body. You start off your day with this stool paper. This is called modern man. And 100 years ago in India, no one would step out of the house without reciting a pad. They wouldn't step out of the house. No man in India would leave his house without reciting a pad. One pad from Ramayana or Ramcharitamanas or Gita. It was impossible. He couldn't step out of the house without reciting pad. 100 years ago. 150 years ago. Pad means a shloka, line from a shloka. There were no newspapers. It's all Kali trash. Newspaper is Kali trash. It's created in the dustbin, and it ends in the dustbin.
Hmm.
From dustbin to dustbin.
Papers.
From dust thou art, dust thou become. They produce it in a dustbin, and they throw it on your door, and then you dust your mind with all that garbage, and then you throw it in the dustbin. This is garbage. Prabhupada writes in one purport, he said, my disciples do not read newspapers. And so be it. Never did our eyes scan a newspaper again. I saw stool paper. I'm a big advocate of not reading newspapers. It's quite a popular thing these days. The gopis, they used to sing. The news is already there. All the news is there. You have to sing it, that's all. This is the news. There's no other news. So just think Krishna's. In order to test Krishna's strength, the gopis would ask him to bring wooden shoes, then progressively heavier objects. That's pretty good. Oh, Krishna, bring this. Okay. Oh, Krishna, bring that. Oh, okay. Oh, Krishna, bring that big wooden that plank over there. Oh. It says Nectar Devotion. They would ask him to bring a wooden plank, which I mentioned here, but there it says that he would try to lift a wooden plank, and when he couldn't lift it, he would slap his arms on his side and go like, oh, no. He couldn't do it. I'd be frustrated. So he would... It would show his frustration that way. Ordered by the gopis, Krishna would stand up holding the objects over his soft belly to invite the pleasure of his relatives. Krishna would sometimes slap his arms to show he had sufficient strength. He had a big object he would hold out over his belly, and it was something big, he couldn't manage it. That's like weightlifting. They have these guys, they try to go, oh, and they drop the weight. It's too heavy. So Krishna would lift the weight, and he knew he couldn't lift it, so he just put it on his belly. No. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brijvasis by his childhood activities. Not only Krishna's relatives, but all the Brijvasis enjoyed unlimited bliss from his childhood pastimes, wherein Krishna allowed himself to be under their control. Krishna showed this aspect of himself being controlled by his devotees' love directly to those external devotees like Brahma and Shiva, who were captivated by Krishna's potency of majestic opulence because it cannot be understood merely by explanations. That's a fact. Brahma, he's very intelligent, Adi Kaviye. He's the original intelligent person. And if you sat with him and tried to explain the difference between Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti and Madhurya Mahi Bhakti, and what is the difference with all types of philosophical terms and explanations, still you can't grasp it. Some things have to be seen. Like someone asked you, can you explain to me what is love? Well, love is, it's like a feeling, and it's like somebody does something, and you say, look, forget it, come with me. See this cow? See this baby? Now just watch. Now the mother goes, starts licking the calf and trying to put the calf inside her mouth, swallow it. I just keep licking the calf. It's falling down like this and like that, this and that. So what is this? What do you see there? What are you seeing? Oh, It seems like this mother likes too much that baby. There seems to be some affection. Yes, this is love. They have a phrase in English, a picture is worth a thousand words. A picture is worth a thousand words. So one lila is worth a thousand words of explanation. So if you see a lila where Madhurya Mayi Bhakti is being displayed, then that one lila will cover a thousand words of explanation. So therefore Brahma, if Krishna was to sit down with Brahma and have a philosophy class, philosophy 101, philosophy 201, philosophy 301, and Brahma would take all kinds of notes on his laptop and enter it into his motherboard, and still he couldn't compute it, he couldn't fathom it. But if someone said, listen, just come down here, come to Gokul, just watch, see, look. Because if you explain, yes, that gopis love is so much that they can control God. Control God? What do you mean, how do you control God? He's the Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme controller. He can be controlled by some ladies in a village that simply know they churn some butter and they slap some cow dung patties on the wall and smear some cow dung on the floor, and you're telling me they can control God? What is this? No, this is. See, the prema works like this. Prema that Yogamaya influences them, and then Yogamaya prema influences him. He forgets his godhood. He forgets that he's in control, and he becomes like an ordinary boy, and he just becomes dependent on them and controlled by them. And he feels that if he doesn't dance, then he won't get anything to eat, then he'll starve. And what? Come on, what are you talking? Anyway, come, just look, just see it. Seeing is believing. Even Brahma started the philosophy of seeing is believing. Although he's so much Shruti and he's heard so much Shruti and so much knowledge and, you know, from Bhagavatam, everything, and he spoke to Narad. But when it comes down to it, even he was befooled. He had to see it to believe it. He stole the coward boys, and then when he finally saw that each one of them was expanding into a Vishnu Roop, and it was all coming from this one boy, Krishna, then he believed. So ultimately, if you see the truth, you can believe the truth. And that's what Tattva Darshan is all about. Tattva Darshan, see the truth. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevya vidakshanti te giram ganinas Tattva Darshana. So the truth is to be seen. So seeing is believing. So when you see the truth, when you really see the truth, then you can believe it. So that's what chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna is the absolute truth. Radha and Krishna are the supreme expression of the absolute truth. There's nothing more perfect than them. So when we chant Hare Krishna and we chant purely, then we'll see Radha and Krishna in the mantra. Then we'll believe it. Until then, we don't believe it. Everyone tells us it's a yuga mantra. That, oh, this Hare Krishna mantra is a yuga mantra. Radha and Krishna are here. Sakshat Hari, Sakshat Radha. They're here and they're Namrup Gunlila. Well, we say, oh, I don't know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we don't believe it and we don't see it. So ultimately, even we hear so much, but the hearing will bring us to the point of Sakshat Darshan. Well, we say Sakshat Darshan, then there's belief. First there's Sporti, then Visporti, then Sakshat Darshan. And at that point there's absolute purification, absolute belief. But until then it's all partial. Partial belief. Partial understanding. And Sporti is like seeing in a vision. It's like a vision. You're meditating in your mind, and you for some time you can see Krishna. You feel like you feel in your meditation that yes, I'm seeing Krishna, I'm having some kind of vision of Krishna, some inner darshan, antardrishti, whatever you want to call it. And it may go for a short time, or you can see just a static vision, that's a sporti, or you may see some pastime in a sporti, short pastime. But visporti is more of a sporti, visporti. Visporti is also inner vision. It's a type of meditation or inner projection, or you're seeing Krishna, but it's for a longer period of time. And maybe a whole pastime. He's walking and with the cows, and the cows are in front, and Balaram and the other cowherd boys have gone ahead, and he's walking behind. He's passing through Barsana, and Radharani's running down the steps. He first looks over the Chandrashalika and sees Krishna, and he's glancing at her, and she runs down the palace, and then she waits. Mandris are keeping her inside a kunch, and Krishna's looking, where has she come? Because I don't see her there. She must be here somewhere. And he's trying to smell her fragrance or perceive her somewhere. Then one mandri comes out and takes Krishna and pulls him into the kunch where Radharani is. And then you may see sometime like this, and you're actually seeing. It's like almost like you're watching, but it's only internal. This is called Visporti. It can go for some time, but this doesn't. It begins in the level of Bhava. So the first level of Bhava is Sporti. Then later, as Bhava increases, your attachment becomes then Visporti. And Sakshadarshan is here. It's like Dhruva Maharaj was seeing something in his heart. That was like Sporti, very minor Sporti. Seeing just a static darshan of Chaturbhuja Narayan in the heart. And he didn't see. Because that was closed. That cable was cut. That cable TV was cut. There was a power failure. Power cut back. So he couldn't see. And then he opened his eyes, and that same Chaturbhuja Narayan, not the same, because he's always there, but the expansion was in front. And he couldn't see inside. He saw outside. So those eyes are given, the eyes to see Krishna are given by the Lord. And that's it, that's at a very high level of Bhava. Still in Bhava, it can be in Prem also. Then the Lord is here with the eyes. And the interesting thing about Visporti seems so real. Although your eyes are closed and you're seeing in your mind's eye, you could say, internal vision, internal television, like Sanjay was seeing Bhagavad Gita, internal television. That was like a Visporti, you could say. It seems so real that you feel like you can touch. You feel like that, but you can't. Because it's vaporous. It's only a vision. It's a Sporti. A Visporti, you feel, when you come out of it, you feel, well, I was there. Was I there? I just had an OBE, out-of-body experience. I left my body. I entered the spiritual world. I was in apricot dham. And then you come back. And sometimes in a Visporti, it feels so real, you feel like you're actually there, you can actually reach out and touch the Lord. And when you come back from a Visporti, you may even bring back like Srinivasacharya in his meditation or Siddha Krishna's. You have colors, you were meditating in Holy Leela, and you come back and there's colors on your dhoti. Or you're on your beish, your beish. That may be some reward given by the Lord. To confirm that you went somewhere. And then in Sakshadarshan, it's not even you're trying actually. You may be just chanting. And then Krishna's right there. He's there fully. It's not like some vague thing or there's some halo or you just see some hair or whatever, like some imagination thing. He's right there and you can touch him, you can hold on to his feet. He's real, three-dimensional, four-dimensional, five-dimensional, whatever dimensions he is, in every dimension. That's Sakshadarshan. And then one usually faints and somebody becomes overwhelmed. That's described in Madhurika Dhammini. You may faint and then the Lord will direct his fragrance to you, and then you'll smell, all your senses will become a nose, and you'll smell his fragrance, and that will revive you like smelling salt. And you'll wake up, and again you'll see he's there smiling. And then again you'll say, my Lord, and then again you'll faint. And then he may speak to you. There's a sequence, usually first it's fragrance, and then voice, and then he'll speak to you, oh my son, or whatever. Please you get up, and then you hear his voice and you wake up, and then again you see him. And then again my Lord, and then you faint again. Overwhelmed. And then the last time he may pick you up and embraces you, just like a lover embraces a lover. Because the karmis, they don't really emphasize seeing, they only see it. If they don't see it, they don't believe it. But we hear to prepare ourselves to see. But they don't want to hear, they just want to see. Show me God. Prabhupada says, they say, show me God. So you can't even see your eyelid. And you want to see God. You have no qualification to see your own eyelid. What to speak of see the bank president. You can't even see the bank manager half the time. You have 20 lakhs in this bank and you never even met the manager. And they change every 6 months anyway. Bank manager changes every 2 years. By the time you make an appointment to meet him, he's already changed and shifted to another bank. isn't it? If you keep your account in one bank for 10 years, you have just 5 different managers. But show me God. So first hearing, then seeing, then believing. Absolutely. You hear and believe a little bit, and hear more and you believe a little more, and hear a lot and you start to see and believe more, and then you hear more and then you see a lot and you believe more, and then you see everything, you see sakshat, then you fully believe, oh yeah, Krishna is really there. They weren't lying. I thought they were lying all this time, but actually it's true. He's really there. And he's there individually for me. There's one Krishna for every devotee. That's the beauty of it all. There's 16,000 palaces and 16,000 Krishnas, and there's 16,000 Vasudevas and 16,000 Devakis. Because every child had to have his grandmother. It's not that the child in one palace had to wait 16,000 days to see his grandmother until she came to his house. The grandmother's living there. Because Krishna, you know the Indian system, the man lives with his mother and father. Mm-hmm. So the mother and father are the grandparents of the children. So Krishna had 10 sons and one daughter, 11 children with each wife. So there's 16,000 Krishna, that means there's 16,000 Rohinis and 16,000 Vasudevas and 16,000 Devakis. So there's one Krishna for every devotee, and one Radha for every devotee. And you have your one, you have your deity, and I have my deity, and you have your deity. Everyone has their Thakurji. In this plane and that plane also. It's not that it changes in that plane. Mamta is there. Mamta here is only reflected. That is mixed with so much other Mamta. Deya Mamta. Mami Mamta. Mother Mamta. Father Mamta. Feelings of possession. My mother, my father, my body. And it's all expressions of kambhav. It's all kambhav. Feelings of lust, kam. Kambhav has to be replaced with gopi bhav. And that can only, you can only have gopi bhav when you have gopi mamta. That we say my rupa mandri, my rupa mandri, my rati mandri, my Gurudev, my Prabhupada.